Now you understand that love is the heart of Christianity. It is the, if you want to sum up Christianity in one word, it would be summed up in the word love. That begins with God's love. Certainly God's the author of this kind of love, agape love that we refer to, which is unselfish. Love doesn't require a response on the other's part. It's not based upon any worth or value of the individual loved. These are things that we humans just beyond our understanding, except as we know the Bible, know the Lord, and so forth. God is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us enough to give himself. He's the one who came from heaven, from the glories of heaven to the midnight of earth to spend some 30 plus years here and then go to the cross and shed his blood to give his life as a ransom for our payment so that we could have eternal life. And then rose again from the dead so that we have the assurance of eternal life. And so love is the heart of the gospel. And we're talking now, we're dealing with building battlements in your home. Deuteronomy 22:8, Moses, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, said, when you build a new house, you're to put battlements around the roof. Now, those were flat roofs, and so they were put there to protect people who were on the roof, visitors or children or whoever it might be, so that there'd be no bloodshed caused by someone falling off and being injured or killed in that process. And so what we are speaking of now is taking that from a natural physical standpoint as an instruction to them, which God intended us to so interpret, I think, to saying and talking about the fact that we today, as parents, have to build battlements around our roof to keep our children safe. Now, you build these battlements when you build the house. It's not something you add when they get to be teenagers. Okay? It's something that you build to begin with. When two people get married to start a home. Now, understand, let me say this again. I say it from time to time, but I want you to understand this. When we are preaching the Bible, we are preaching the ideal. We're not preaching the standards of today. Understand what I'm saying? We're preaching the ideal, the way God intended it to be. Not the way it is. Not the way some of us build it and do it in our families and in our lives, but the way to do it right. Okay? That's what we're talking about. How do you do it right to be sure that your children don't turn out bad? Now, it's possible. See, the promise of Scripture is household promises. Promises to fathers and to their children and to their children's children. Always in the Scripture. You'll study, watch that. The promises are always not only to children, but to grandchildren. That's two generations, you see, that we affect when we build these battlements. And so we've talked about a lot of these things and before, but now we're in this chapter. Basically, what we're getting to is building the battlement of love. Now, that's a rather nebulous kind of thought when you say it. You say, how in the world do you build a battlement so that you're sure that your children know what love is and know how to love and love God? How can you build such a battlement? I assure you, you can. You can. But it starts with this. There's a verse in Proverbs. You have to turn there. But it's just a short verse, and it says, chapter 20, verse 7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity. Now get that word, in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Now get that. If you, as a parent, walk in your integrity, in other words, walk in truth, walk in righteousness, walk in your integrity, you're not a fraud, you're not a fake, you're not a hypocrite. You see, you walk in your integrity, it's going to come out good for your children. If you're a hypocrite, if you talk one thing and walk another, it'll ruin your children. It'll mess your children up. And people don't like to think that they're responsible for their children today, and preachers are the worst of this lot. I can tell you that from own personal experiences and run-ins, and we publish a paper that goes out every quarter. It's a paper called Projector, and it projects the light of the Word of God on the issues of the day. And one of the issues that come up over the years is this particular one, and we've dealt very firmly about it. And there are a lot of these fellows, these preachers that have wayward children because they've lived such rotten lives, and then they don't want to take the blame for their wayward children. They want to blame that on something else, heredity, genes, or wife, or husband, or whichever way it might happen to go, rather than taking the responsibility that I am responsible. Certainly God is not responsible, and you're the only two in the equation. Huh? You're the only two in the equation. So it's your God that's at fault. And I would hesitate to blame God. All right? So, the just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. You can always tell, you see, if the children are blessed, then it's a part fact that the parents have walked in their integrity. Now, just a statement or two before we read the scripture. We're coming to that in just a minute. But we're going to this morning deal with what I call some fundamental battlements. Now, there are two or three that specifically that must be there if we're going to protect our children. You know, Proverbs 20, verse 11 says, even a child is known by his doings. This is one of the verses that our children learn in the five-year-old program and sometimes quote in their graduation. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work is pure and whether it be right. There's two words there that, you know, whether, in other words, you judge a child by his deeds. And you also, of course, judge parents the same way. Not by what they say, but by what they produce. Okay? I saw an ad, it was a program on this section of North Florida the other day, and it had a lot of different interesting things they were telling about North Florida. And one of the things, this winery up at Defuniak Springs, and I had known it was up there, seen the building, but I didn't know anything about it. But that must be quite a place as far as equipment and things of it. But, you know, a winery that turns out bad wine won't stay in business very long, will it? Now, I don't know anything about good wine, bad wine. I never was into that business. But I know this, that if these famous winemakers were to turn out a sorry batch of wine, they'd be out of business pretty quick. But a bunch of parents can turn out a bunch of sorry kids and blame somebody else for the fruit. Now the fruit, you know, we gather by the fruit. We know things by the fruit. Jesus said, by the fruit you shall know them. Now, somebody says, you're not supposed to judge. We're not judging, we're just stating the fact. When you look at the fruit, you don't, you see the fruit's rotten. Anybody can judge that, can't they? I mean, it's not a matter of judgment, it's a matter of observation. Now, the scripture says a child is known by his doings. Those doings are a direct reflection of the child's home life. Like it or not, a child's values, his attitudes, his spirit, his behavior, what he loves, and what he hates, these are determined primarily by his or her home life. A large part of this training happens involuntarily when no apparent effort is being made by either parent to teach. It rubs off on the child automatically. When we as parents are being our natural selves, we may say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, you ever hear people say that? Well, I'm sorry, that's just the way I am. Well, while that is in fact the problem, maybe the way you are needs to be changed by the grace of God. You know, clay picks up whatever gets close to it, be it clean sand or dirty dirt. You roll a ball of clay down, and it'll pick up whatever it comes in contact with. Praying together as parents, you should ask God to make you aware of areas of your lives that may need some cleaning up. You know, we're a little different around this church. We believe in preaching the word as it is to people as they are. We don't clean up people and we don't degrade the word. We preach the word to, I am just like you, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I got all the flaws and faults in my life as you probably have in yours. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And so I preach just like I'm preaching to myself. What I need, that's what I preach to you. What I feel is something that will help me, that's what I preach to you. And this one, especially this morning, falls into that category. Now let's read this passage in 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to read the word charity as it is. It's the word for love. It's the word agape, which means love, God's love, unselfish love. Now, and love that is not based on any emotion. There's no feeling involved in this love. You don't feel it, you know? It's not that kind of love. It's of the will. God wills to love us because he is God. He doesn't will to love us because we are good looking or behave nicely or he just thinks we're wonderful. No, he loves us in spite of everything negative that we are. This positive stuff that's being propagated and preached today is just out of hell itself. And it's not, it's damaging people, not helping them. Let's read now 13, 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. We could translate that, I am a useless nobody. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity, or love, we're translating that way, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, and endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, so we want to talk this morning with you about this business of building the battlement of love. Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And of course, that puts it as the greatest there is. For we certainly think highly of faith, and we certainly think highly of hope. But none of them can reach the height of the love of God. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, or you can listen as I read. I want to read a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38. Jesus said unto him, this lawyer asked Jesus what was the first commandment, great commandment. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So not only is love the center of Christianity, but it is the heart of the law. So even in Old Testament times, when law was in its effect and so forth, it was not a substitute for love. Now, our love for God will be displayed in our doings, not by our talk, but by our walk. And folks, I don't have to explain that or elaborate on that, but you know that it's certainly true. A man loves a woman. It starts out early on. It starts off that the girls love the boys. That's the way it generally starts off. But sooner or later, it gets around, you know, to where the boys love the girls. And when a young man loves a girl, or even if he thinks he may think he does, sometimes we call it young love, puppy love. Well, it's just as serious to the young fellow as it is to the older fellow. Whether it's as real or not, it's another question, but he's just as sincere about it. I can remember some of my love affairs in elementary school. There were very few girls in my class. We didn't have that big of classes, but there were very few girls in the classes that at one time or later I didn't have a crush on, you know, and try to bring them things, leave them on their desks, and not tell them who did it, and, you know, all those sweet little things like that that folks who love like to do. And then comes along real genuine love, and a young man loves a girl, and he just can't do enough to please her. He just can't do enough to assure her of his love and convince her, you know, of his love for her. And in turn, the same thing, generally speaking. Now, that's just the way it is. When you love someone, it's pretty obvious, you know? It's pretty obvious that you love, because it's reflected in your walk. What you earnestly love and dearly love is reflected in your walk. It's also true with parents and children. Sometimes it may be misplaced and parents may be a little foolish about it, but parents, it's natural that parents should love their children. You know, one of the things today that is so evident in our world is this lack of natural affection, you know, where people kill their, you see it almost every day you pick up a paper where somebody's killed their child. Now, I know we have more reporting today of these kind of things, and we hear more about it because of cable and the media and all these things. Maybe then we used to. We were more isolated then. But there's always been those that were had lacked natural affection. But there, God put within all men a natural affection for even from that matter, more than just your children, but for animals and things of that nature. Whenever you see a person kick his dog, he'll hit his child too the same way. Just don't ever forget that. If you kick a dog or kick a cat and injure them in some way or likely injure them, he'll do the same thing to you or the family. Now, he may have to have a little more rage before he would do it, but that's what he is. That's the way he is. That's what he has in him, a lack of natural affection. That's the reason God made all little animals cute. Some of them aren't pretty, but all of them are sure cute. You let a program, an animal program, come on TV or something where all the little lions are rolling and tumbling and over each other, or mama's there playing with them and they're all over her and things like that. If that doesn't get to you, you've got something missing, lacking in you and in your makeup. It's just something about those kind of things that attract us, because we have this natural affection. Now, when people are not saved and people go on in sin and people violate their conscience and go ahead and cross their conscience, they'll do any kind of a thing like that, you see. But love is demonstrated by our walk, by our actions. Now, this is the kind of love that we're speaking of here. Now, love for others is the second commandment, Jesus said there in verse 39, and the second is like unto it, that is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, there's been a movement in this country in recent years, especially the last 10 or so years, people talking about the problem with our young folks is they don't love themselves. They've grown up in society and they don't have a good self-image, and they don't love themselves. Folks, I got news for you. That one was hatched in hell. The problem we have is love for ourselves. Not that we don't love ourselves, but we love ourselves far too much. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about perilous times shall come, and the first indication of perilous times is men shall be lovers of themselves. That is the first indication of the end times, the perilous times, is the love that people have for themselves. Boy, it shouldn't be long before the Lord comes, should it? With the love people have for themselves today. I mean, boy, you know, love for others is demonstrated mostly by hypocrisy. We live in the days of hypocrisy and deceit. People live to deceive. They daily walk as a hypocrite, declaring themselves to be something they're not. Now, a lot of us don't even know what we are. We've been telling ourselves so long how good we were. We've been telling ourselves what kind of good people we really are. And we've done it for so long till we've begun to believe it. That's the sad thing. You see, we've begun to really believe that that is true, that we're just great and wonderful and glorious. And Jesus never indicated such a thing as that. He said to his disciples, you then being what? Evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, even the evil. And he said, you disciples are evil. That wasn't a very good thing for a shepherd to tell his children, or those that he had leadership of, to tell them that were evil. You know why? Because they were. And because he'd have been lying to them if he'd have said anything else. And anybody that tells you how wonderful and glorious and swell you are is setting you up for something. You just remember that. Setting you up for something. Because that's not the way it is. We're sinners. Now, if we've received Christ, we're sinners saved by grace. And the love of God has come into our hearts and in our lives. But we still are the same old sinners. We just have a new heart. But we still have that old drag, that old man that pulls away at us. And we have to encourage by staying in the Scripture and staying in the Word of God, the new man to put forth his effort to be what he ought to be. Now, so how are we going to teach the attitudes that are involved and are in harmony with love? Well, there are some things that we know that if you can have them, they're great, and you still don't have love. In that interesting part, the first three verses of chapter 13 are not usually dealt with too much, but let's look at them for just a moment. Here are things you may do and not have love. All right? What are they? You may have native gifts. Here it says, speaking with tongues, the tongue of men and angels. In other words, you may have ability at speaking, oratory, or preaching. Most people who are natural speakers aren't called to preach. It's been my determination and what I've concluded over the years. If you're called to preach, it scares you to death. Getting behind the pulpit it's scary. It makes you shake and tremble. It's like giving a speech in speech class. It's not something that you want to preach the word. You know God's called you to preach the word, but I'm glad to have a good wide so you can't see their knees shake. Anybody that can stand up and blow and blow and blow hasn't called to preach. God calls people to preach that have to depend on the Holy Spirit. See, people with a gift of gab don't have to depend on the Holy Spirit. They can just go. Just turn them loose. Wind them and turn them loose, and they go. But those who are dependent upon the Holy Spirit, if you talk to them, and you'll find out from them, no matter how long it is that they've been preaching, and I've been at it over 54 years, you still approach the pulpit with fear and trembling because you're handling the most precious thing in the world, the Word of God. And you're dealing with what is most precious, the souls of men and women and children, young people. And so if you can approach that with a careless attitude, you can be sure you aren't called to preach. Now, you can have these native gifts and still not have love. What else? You can understand mysteries and possess all knowledge. Now, mysteries are a pretty common thing with the Bible. There's so many mysterious kind of things that sometimes are very, very difficult to understand. And yet, there are those who have great knowledge. They've studied greatly, and they can speak to those mysteries, and with their great knowledge, they can expound them, but they don't have love in their heart. They can still do that without love in their heart. And we need to understand this, all right? And then here's one now. This is very interesting. They have all faith so that they could remove mountains. Now, wait a minute here, boy. Faith. You know, this is a high-priced commodity. This is an important thing in the Lord's work and business, faith. You have to have faith in order to be saved. But you can have faith and you can remove mountains. You could have the power to heal, the power to move mountains. As it says here, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am a useless nobody. I would be very careful about, when I first got saved, I was scared to death of some of these preachers who claim to do miracles or healings and things like that. But as I grew and came to know what the Word of God teaches and how that we're not living in the days of miracles and signs, we don't have them today. This chapter 13 says very clearly that that is the case. If you look in a couple of the verses here in the middle part of the chapter, love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, that's the gift of prophecy, they shall fail. We don't have the gift of prophecy anymore today. It's not functioning. It's gone by the wayside. Whether there be tongues, this is the tongues like they had on Pentecost and afterwards, tongues where people spoke in languages. There never was unknown tongues. That word is not supposed to be used with tongues. It's not in the scriptures, but they were unknown to the people who spoke them, but they were known to the people who heard. I would speak in Greek or French, and I don't know Greek or French, and yet I would speak in it, and you know Greek or French, and you understood me, and I didn't even understand what I was saying myself. That's what was unknown about it, was that the person who spoke it didn't know what he was speaking. You see, we get so wrapped up in emotional things and stirred up about things. But it says here that the tongues are going to cease. And will there be knowledge? This is the gift. You hear people say, I have a word of knowledge. No, you don't. You're lying. You see, I used to wouldn't have said that because I was scared to death of these people. I came to understand that I had no need to be scared of them. They aren't spirit-filled. They may have a spirit, but it's not the Spirit of God. See? You have to understand today that the Antichrist, remember this, here's something to help you. Antichrist does not mean this. This is Christ and this is Antichrist. Boom, boom, boom. Antichrist means this. Here is Christ and here's Antichrist. See? They run the same direction. They say mostly the same things. They both, pretty well, say the same things, except one is truth and one is error. They're right alongside each other. That's Antichrist. See? And that's the reason it's so much harder to understand and to recognize Antichrist. You see, if Antichrist just came out and called Christ a liar, we'd all say, hey, you rascal, you don't call my Savior a liar. But if he says, well, Christ is wonderful, he's the Savior of mankind, but you have to also be baptized to be saved. Okay, liar, now you've thrown something in, I know who you are. You're an Antichrist, you see, because the blood of Christ is sufficient. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to be follow the Lord baptism. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it doesn't save you. You see? So we have to be very careful about these things. Now, so if I give all I have to the poor, verse 3 says, I can do that without having love. Okay? You don't have to love to give. You can love out of law and think, if I don't give, I'll be killed or something, and that's not given out of love or whatever reason might be. And then last of all, if I give my body to be burned, well, how about these Saudis and these terrorists over there who daily give their body to be burned? You think they got love? Boy, they sure don't have love, do they? Well, you see, what I'm saying is, you can do a lot of things, you can have a lot of things, you can be a lot of things, and still not love. And still not love. We've got to get love into our home, love into our family, genuine love, the love of the Lord and love of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to just mention quickly here, and we're going to close, and then we're coming back to this, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. But here are some attitudes that are in harmony with love. They aren't love, but they are in harmony with love. Patience. We certainly need to teach our children patience. Kindness. Being kind to animals, kind to other people, kind to brothers and sisters. Oh, man, that's tough, isn't it? Not jealous. I'm taking these from this list we read about here in 1 Corinthians 13. Not jealous of others. Doesn't brag, even away from home, where people don't know you. And they wouldn't know you were lying if you bragged a little. Think the best of people. You know, it's a normal thing for the Christian to see a person's action and assume it must be in good intentions. You should not immediately look at people's actions and what they do and interpret it, unless it's obviously like a shoot somebody, something like that. But something, you know, a person can do a good deed with a bad motive and have ulterior intentions in it. Or they can look like they're being awfully upset. People accuse me of being angry and mad sometimes when I'm just in my prime dealing with young folks or children or something. And I love them to death, but they assume I must hate them. You see, don't jump on what you see first off. Know the person, know the thing, know what he's doing before you judge in those areas. Don't think first of yourself. Now look at myself first, then I'll see about you. Love truth and honesty. We're going to touch on some of these again, but I just want to go over them. Endures with proper attitude the tough living of life. There are tough things in life that your children are going to face, as well as all the nice things. And you need to prepare them for knowing and how to handle those things. And then remember that love never fails. These other things will fail, cease, but not love. It will never fail. Father, we thank you so much today for the scriptures, Lord, the truth of God. Oh, Lord, not the rantings of men with their ideas when they leave the Bible and go to their own ideas and conclusions. Lord, help us as parents and as teachers and as folks, any of us who have responsibility for children, to be real ourselves, to have integrity, to be real, to not be a fraud. The first thing we must work on is not our children, but ourselves. To not be a fraud, not be a fake. Have integrity so that we can bless our children, not curse them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.